University of Wisconsin graduates will be picking up their diplomas this weekend, and high school commencement ceremonies are coming up. It's a time for celebrating and pomp and circumstancing and throwing graduation caps into the air. But our guest this hour says it's okay to be sad about this milestone, too. We'll find out what he means. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest says that while commencement speeches are typically filled with thoughts of the wide open future, it's also important to contemplate your past. We will welcome your words of wisdom to the class of 2014, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Danny Heitman, columnist and editorial page editor for the Baton Rouge Advocate. His writings have also appeared in several national publications, including his recent piece, Graduation Wisdom, Look Behind You, which appeared this week in the Christian Science Monitor. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, and thanks for being with us. I know that your piece in the Christian Science Monitor was about your daughter who recently graduated from high school. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
But the point seemed, this is a universal point. Tell us her story and why she was feeling sad.
Well, my daughter attends an all-girls academy, and they have a great tradition for high school seniors. All high school seniors begin the year with a sunrise ceremony, and they conclude their year, and indeed their career there on campus, with a sunset ceremony at the end of the school year. And that tradition is really meant to remind the girls that their lives and all of our lives are framed, ordered, in a sense, by time. And my daughter is a very happy-go-lucky young lady. She's really not prone to a lot of brooding introspection. But I noticed when she came back from her sunset ceremony that she was very wistful. She was a little bit teary, and she confessed to being sad about the passage of her high school career. And my first thought as a parent was to just to try to brush it away and tell Eve that she had lots of great experiences ahead of her, which of course she does. But I held back and just let her grieve a bit for the time that had passed. So I realized that what she was learning and what all of us learn as we mature is that we do have a past. You know, it's very difficult when you're 18 to think that you have a past, but she does, and but that's a good thing. It really, the fact that we have a personal history now and the fact that we know that life is indeed finite, it gives urgency to our missions, to our dreams, and that's a good thing. And so my commentary was really about, as we look toward the future as graduates, it's okay to embrace our past and to realize that we are getting older, and that this is very much part of our emotional maturity.
Boy, I remember being really excited. But I did have a passing thoughts of, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is over. You know, and I think that you knew that you were going to be moving at high school, moving to a different community, to go to a different college than many of my friends, and that we were, you know, moving out into different directions, and that, you know, we may not ever see each other again. So there is a reason to be a little bit sad about that.
That's true. And that's part of growing up. And I think as parents, we sometimes want to solve all of our children's problems for them. I know that I have that temptation. And I think as our graduates go through this, these very complicated emotional experiences, sometimes it's best to just let them sort it out. That's part of growing up, too, you know?
Yeah. Well, why do you think our past experiences, play such an important part, especially with a new graduate, into growing into adulthood?
Well, I quote filmmaker Ken Burns in my commentary. Everybody knows Ken Burns is a wonderful historical filmmaker. He's the guy behind that great Civil War documentary that was so critically acclaimed. Ken Burns was asked to address graduates a number of years ago, and he said, I thought about this idea that graduates are always told that their future lies ahead of them. He said, I thought about this, and I'm now convinced that your future lies behind you, in our past, collective and personal. If you do not know where you have been, how can you possibly know where you are going? And I can't say it better than that. I think that it's important for us to draw on our history and our experiences. It's really it's our personal library of wisdom that we are accumulating through the School of Hard Knocks as we get a formal education as well. So that's what I was really trying to communicate in my piece.
Yeah. Well, what else, what other advice, besides that you let your daughter feel sad about this, did you have anything else to say to her as she embarks on, this next chapter?
If you can find a way for kids to take advice from their parents, and you can share it with me, that would be great. I'm still learning. I'm learning as a parent not to overtly advise your kids too much because they tend to want to go in the opposite direction. But if I could impart some wisdom to my daughter and she would listen, I would tell her something that a lot of folks might find odd. I think it's important for graduates as they're moving out into the world to find time to be alone. We look at these wonderful graduation ceremonies, and they're such a great collective experience, and it reminds us that we do function in a larger society and that all of the good we'll ever do is going to be done in collaboration with other people. And yet, I think those years between graduation and, for a lot of us, what will eventually emerge is marriage and children, that interlude between graduation and our time of building families, it can be a great time to really embrace a little solitude. I know that after I graduated from college, there were a few years I spent living as a bachelor. Of course, I was blessed with many good friends, and I had a loving extended family. But that time when I would come home to an empty apartment on many evenings and had a lot of time to think and really find out who I am, that was a rich experience for me. And I would just encourage students as they leave campus to really think about that. And we live in a society now where it can sometimes be difficult to be alone. We're always connected with Twitter and Instagram and the internet. Again, all good things, but everything really needs to be used in moderation. So that would be one piece of advice, is to find some time to be alone.
I like it. We are talking about advice we might have for this year's college and high school graduates. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Danny Heitman, who is a proud dad of a new high school graduate. He's also a columnist and editorial page editor for the Baton Rouge Advocate. Talking with him about his recent piece in the Christian Science Monitor, Graduation Wisdom, Look Behind You. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about college and high school commencement. You know, the speeches are typically filled with encouraging words about finding oneself, dreaming big, and making a difference. Well, our guest columnist has some advice, too, and it's look back. He explains why he says it's important to contemplate one's past to have a rewarding future. And we also invite you to share your words of wisdom for the class of 2014. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, we have an open line for you. What advice do you have for this year's graduates? Do you recall what your commencement speaker had to say to you? Probably not. Will you be attending any graduation ceremonies coming up? Well, here's one for you. What do you know now that you wish you knew then? Maybe our graduates won't take our advice, but what do you wish you would have known then that you know now? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, we do have some comments on Facebook. John on Facebook says, learn some self-sufficiency. If you can't provide for yourself, you'll end up right back living with your parents. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. That's a terrifying thought.
I don't know. I suppose the graduates of today might, you know, it is a little bit different than maybe the when we graduated, Danny.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of things have changed in the nearly 30 years since I graduated from college. One thing that I wanted to mention that it took me a long time to learn is I remember feeling really, disappointed a little when I graduated from college because I thought that I would have been smarter after 4 years. I entered college with this idea that education was a kind of a vending machine where you put in a certain amount of tuition. And then you got a lot of answers to life's problems and challenges and mysteries as a result. And as I got to my senior year and it was time for me to put on my cap and gown, I realized that there were, for most of life's big questions, I still didn't have easy answers. And what I eventually came to realize is that that's really not what education is about. It's really not about giving you quick answers. It's about helping you form the right questions to really be an intelligent and informed citizen. And it also, my education helped me realize that it's okay to embrace doubt. It's okay not to seek out a world where everything is going to be certain for you. And really, whenever we embrace doubt and ambiguity, it allows us to cultivate a sense of wonder and mystery about the world. And that's a good way to stay young as you get to be 50 years old like I am, is to continue to have a sense of wonder about the world. And so I really had to reframe my idea of what an education was supposed to give me. And that's something, if I could, I would like graduates to know. And I wish that I had known that when I left campus nearly 30 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure I knew it when I left campus, but I did develop a love for lifelong learning with the education that I received. So you go on learning throughout your life, informally perhaps, but
sure. Mm. And it's an odd coincidence, but the very last thing I did as I took off my cap and gown and left campus, I went by the bookstore and I bought a copy of some essays by Ralph Waldo Emerson that I'd studied in English class, because Emerson, one of his prevailing ideas was about thinking independently for yourself. And and I thought, you know, I'm not under anybody's thumb anymore. I'm out on my own. And maybe he might have some things to teach me about how to do this. And what Emerson really taught me or reminded me of is that learning is a lifelong experience. It's not just confined to the classroom. It's something you have to continue to cultivate. And that's, of course, been a central thing for me as a journalist. If you're not consistently curious about the world, you're not going to get very far as a reporter, and I don't think you're going to get very far as a human being.
So. It reminds me of who said the quote, something like, the more you know, the more you realize how little you know.
Well,
yeah, something
I
like
don't
that.
Know who said it, but I've heard it quoted so often, and it should be quoted often because it's really at the heart of education as a lifelong experience.
Well, the thinking about looking at our past to help us have a better future. How do you suppose we practically do that?
One thing I think it's probably important to do is to connect with people who have known you a long time. One of the things my daughter is learning is that, gosh, you know, I have lived for 18 years, and there are girlfriends that she has that she's known since they were in daycare together. And that's really, I guess, impressed her as really a rich gift to have whenever you have people that you've known that long. And, of course, when you get to be 50, like I am, you realize that there are folks that you've known since the first grade, and that's an even longer expanse of time. I think a great way to connect with your past and to really consider its implications is to connect with all those folks who've known you for a long time. And besides your friends, of course, are your parents. And I think that's why it's so comforting, you know, for kids to come home from college from time to time, even though they're doing their best to get away from mom and dad quite often. Because mom and dad have known you a great long, long while. They've known you all your life, and they can help connect you with your past. And that's just a really comforting thing to have around.
So. Yeah, it is comforting. I do have a set of girlfriends that I've known since I was pre-kindergarten, and we still see each other today, and there is a close bond, and it's someone who knew you then, which can be dangerous, I suppose. but
it can be, you know. And while we're on the topic of friendship, you had asked earlier for your listeners to offer some wisdom that they wish they had known then.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really comes to mind for me is about 4 years ago, I lost three friends, three coworkers, just in the space of a year. One died to cancer, another, you know, had an accident, and another had a mortal illness as well. So I went to three funerals that year, and the thing that really struck me about those funerals is that although all of these people had had these really great careers and they'd done really great things at the office, nobody talked about that at the funeral service. Whenever all the eulogies were delivered, they were all these wonderful recollections about what great husbands or wives or fathers or friends these people had been, and it really just takes me a while to learn things. I can be thick about things sometimes, but it just hit me like a 2x4 that, you know, that's exactly what is important and how your legacy is going to be defined. It's really not going to be defined by all those silly things that we like to think of as important, like who got the office, who got the office with the window in it, and who got the big promotion. And at the end of your life, your legacy is going to be defined by the lives that you touched in a deeper way as a friend or a parent or a brother or a sister or a spouse. And that's something I really think is important for graduates to remember.
Yeah. I guess one thing that I don't think I knew then that I know now, you just reminded me of it, is that life's too short, and you don't want to waste life. You want to grab life. That doesn't mean, you know, just be wild and have fun all the time, but it does mean that you're not going to be here forever, and make your mark and in whatever that may be. So that's something.
Oh, sure. One of the things that I do in addition to my work as a journalist is I teach writing as an adjunct professor, and last semester. And our students work really hard in my class. We write. We have lots of homework. We have lots of studying. But our class session, one of our class sessions, fell on Valentine's Day last year, and I dismissed the class early, and I said, you know, go home and back to your apartment or your dorm, and just call somebody that you love, because one of the things that I've learned as an adult,
terrible part. This is a bad place for me to cut in, but we have a news break coming up, Danny.
Okay,
so we'll finish the story after the news. I'm Joy Cardine.
Sure.
This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with the proud dad of a new high school graduate. And he's telling us why he thinks it's important for grads to contemplate their past in order to have a rewarding future. And he'll respond to your thoughts and your advice, too, to the graduating class of 2014. What advice do you have for today's college and high school graduates? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 right now. Talking with Danny Heitman, who is a columnist and editorial page writer for the Baton Rouge Advocate. His writings have also appeared in several national publications, including his recent piece, Graduation Wisdom, Look Behind You, which appeared this week in the Christian Science Monitor. And just before our news break, Danny, you were telling us a story about your writing class. You told them to take the day off on Valentine's Day and go home and call a friend. Why did you do that?
Well, what I was trying to communicate to these students is that as they prepare themselves for active careers, that their career, as good as it may be, is really never going to be as important as the connections they make as human beings, whether it's as a father, a friend, a mother, a sibling. And so I encourage them to just take some time away from class on Valentine's Day and just go call someone that they loved. And of course, the kids seem to appreciate getting out of class early, but I hope that they took my advice to heart and did that, and I hope it's something that they continue to do as they pursue life beyond campus.
You know, Danny, much of the advice that our listeners are posting on our Facebook page is about money and work and career. And when I said earlier, grab life, I didn't necessarily mean, you know, work yourself to death. Do you have any particular advice about, I guess, using our past to succeed in the areas of, I don't know, of career?
Well, I think whenever we think about our past, and we what we're looking for is pattern. Right, we're looking for themes. We're narrative creatures at heart, and I think whenever you explore your past, you can really discern some themes that can help you identify who you are and how you're best suited to contribute in the world. As an example, I noticed in looking at my past as a young man that I was consistently happy when I was in English class, writing. And I was not so happy when I was in science class trying, or math class trying to sort that out. And, you know, so over time I realized that whatever modest gifts I had in this world were really as a writer. And I think that's important, you know, for kids to know, is that their past really provides some pretty vital clues about the best promise that they have in the future.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We have a listener on Facebook who says, don't believe the mainstream hype about a secure job and a house you own. Live frugally. Get out of debt. Try to be self-employed. Find multiple income streams. Be happy, not rich.
That's all good advice. I think something else that I learned fairly quickly when I entered the workforce is I tried to do a good job in whatever task I was given, regardless of whether it was a small job or a big job. And one of the things that happened with me in my career is I was a reporter. I was asked, just as an incidental assignment, hey, could you review this book that has come into the newsroom for our Sunday book page? And I thought, well, you know, this is really not something that's very important to my career as a hard news reporter who's out covering crime and the city council and stuff like that. But I tried to do as good a job as I could with it. And from that experience of just turning in a small book review, my editors could see that I was able to write commentary fairly well. And that led to a job as a columnist eventually. And today, most of the work that I do is as a writer of commentary. And that door opened up for me because I was given a really, what appeared to be a very small and inconsequential job. And for whatever reason, I decided I was going to do well at it. I wasn't going to be dismissive of it. And I think that is something I would try to encourage graduates to think about, is that there's really no small assignment. They can all be potentially important in your work life.
Yeah. Well, David on Facebook says, look for work you like, even if the pay is low. It will work out in the long run. I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but our kids today, speaking like the old man saying, get off my lawn, our kids today, do they want to just get out of school and step into that glamorous, high-paying job? They want to be millionaires right away. They don't want to pay their dues, that kind of thing.
Well, I think kids come in all shapes and sizes. Whenever the first question I ask of my students that I teach is, what do you want to be after you leave campus? And one student in my class said, oh, well, I'd like to be the president of the United States. And and I thought, well, you know, that's a nice aspiration to have. And somebody has to be president, and you could very well be the president. But what I tried to convey to him is that between his life as a college freshman and the presidency, there was a lot of hard work ahead. And he seemed to be an industrious student, so perhaps he will be sitting in the Oval Office one day. As to whether kids automatically assume that they're going to walk into their dream job immediately, I do think that there are students like that. I know there were students in my college class 30 years ago who were like that, but as I've connected with students at the university and as I've connected with my daughter's classmates, what I've noticed and been very impressed by is how many of them have a boundless capacity for work. A lot of these kids are just really hardworking folks, and it really gives me a lot of encouragement about the future.
Yeah. So. Do you you also wanted to talk a little bit about students should not graduate from high school thinking that they are right all the time?
Yeah, you know, I have a son as well. He's 13 years old, at an age, by the way, when we do think that we're right about everything, mm-hmm. and our parents are wrong. But when my son William was in the third grade, his third grade teacher had a list of class rules, most of which were the typical rules that you would expect. Keep your hands to yourself. If you borrow something, put it back. Use your words to solve problems and not your fists. That sort of stuff. But the last rule that was listed in these class rules for third graders has really stuck with me. The rule was, I will not believe that I am always right. And I thought, gosh, isn't that great advice for grown-ups, too? Because as an editorial page editor, I field calls from people all day who are completely convinced that they are right about every current event that's going on in the world. We live in a deeply partisan country right now where people have very entrenched positions. And I just think that's a way to get really old very quickly when you leave campus as a graduate, is to enter the world with this idea that you have everything figured out and that you are right about everything. And that's really how you close yourself off to the world. I would encourage graduates to really retain the capacity to change your mind. I know that I have changed my mind about issues as I've gotten older. I think that is part of being a mature person. And I would just encourage them not to try to resolve life too quickly and just embrace these hardened ideological positions. So.
We are talking about open minds and other advice for college and high school graduates. College commencement ceremonies taking place this weekend on many University of Wisconsin campuses, high school graduation coming up. What advice do you have for the graduating class of 2014? We are talking about a lot of it right now with Danny Heitman, who just watched his daughter graduate from high school. Noticed that she was a little sad. She said she was a little sad. And he said, that's okay. It's all right to be sad at this milestone, that it's important to contemplate our past in order to have a rewarding future. What do you think? What advice do you have? What words of wisdom do you have for the class of 2014? A little surprised that we don't have our smart listeners sharing advice. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes before 8 right now. We are talking with a guest, getting some advice for the class of 2014. What advice do you have for high school or college graduates? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking with Danny Heitman, who is a columnist and editorial page editor for the Baton Rouge Advocate. We're talking with him about his recent piece, Graduation Wisdom, Look Behind You, which appeared this week in the Christian Science Monitor. And now our lines are full. Let's take our listeners' advice. Kim in Milwaukee. Hello, Kim. What do you think?
Hi. I just wanted to make a quick comment about one of the comments you had earlier about getting a lower-paying job. You know, I wish that I could get a lower-paying job where I could travel and, you know, do more things for myself and less stressful, but I'm like $50,000 in debt, so I hope to get the highest paying job I can get, honestly.
We will be talking about student loan debt, by the way, coming up in our week in review. So you can stay tuned and listen to that.
I'm sure I will. Thank you. And then she asked what advice I had. And I actually, I went away to school, but then I came back. And I went to community college. And when I went to community college, it was astounding how cheap it was. Like, after paying tuition at a university, going to community college was, it was nothing. It was jumped in.
Yeah.
So it helps. On the one hand, you get a lot more connections for people who are, you make a lot more friends your freshman year for people who are going to be getting their four-year degree and working in the same fields as you. But on the other hand, it's really expensive. So kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah. This is true, Danny?
Well, Gordon Geese, who once was president of Vanderbilt, I spoke with him a number of years ago. He said, I am really proud to head Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt is a great university, but I have to tell you, the front door of the American dream is the community college, and we would be lost without them. So I think what your listener said certainly has a lot of merit, and I think that there is, it's unwise of us to discount community colleges as second rate. They're often very affordable and efficient ways to get an education, and we're glad to have them. We'd be lost without them. So.
Thank you, Kim. Tom in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Tom.
Hello. Good morning. What a great program. I think my advice to graduating students this year is to enter the world with your eyes open, and to, because you never know where opportunity is going to come from. You don't know what a chance meeting of someone today is going to bring to you in the future. And I don't just mean financial opportunity or job opportunities, but you could have opportunities that will present themselves as travel or as meeting other people or other life enriching things that unless you're open to it at the time, you're just not going to, you're not going to experience that.
Yeah.
And it could be not just a life-changing opportunity, but a bunch of small opportunities that will help shape you into a better person.
Yeah, open mind and take the blinders off. Have your eyes wide open, Danny.
Well, historian Stephen Ambrose, he was offered an opportunity as a young man to write a biography of a Civil War general named Halleck, who was Abraham Lincoln's chief of staff, relatively obscure person in the scheme of things. He was offered the opportunity to write this biography, and he decided to take that opportunity. He wrote the book. The book was later read by former President Dwight Eisenhower, who was so impressed by it that he called a very young Stephen Ambrose and said, "Hey, I really like this book. Would you be willing to come edit my presidential papers?" And from that, Ambrose was able to get the professional stature that he eventually used to become an internationally recognized historian. So I think it really gets to the point that your caller was making about how you don't know how embracing these small opportunities can really lead to big things later on. And I think there's just so much wisdom in that, and I just wanted to affirm that.
Yeah. Jamie in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to suggest to especially college graduates, if you're having trouble in the job market or not finding what you want, and if you have any desire to travel, I would do that now. There are so many opportunities abroad to teach English, to volunteer, to work in another country, make a little money, see new places, because once you get that job and you have that 10 days of vacation a year, it's really hard to do that. I'm in my late 30s, and I've been able to travel, fortunately, a lot in the last 7 or 8 years, but it's because it's a passion of mine. So do it now. Go abroad, you know, stay in hostel, volunteer. There's so many ways to travel cheaply. So do that now if that's a passion and if you're not finding the job you want.
Hear, hear. Plus, that travel certainly broadens your horizon. Danny, do you agree?
My dear friend Fred Kalmbach, who is an editor at my newspaper, after he graduated from college, he took a job as an English instructor in China, and it was a great experience. And then after he had that experience, of course, he not too long after that, entered into life as a husband and a father and started raising a family, and that rooted him, and that was a good thing, but it did diminish his ability to travel. So it really points out the wisdom of what your caller is talking about how it's good to take these opportunities when you do have the ability to be mobile and get around and not have these other obligations. Sure, that's great advice.
Anna in Madison is with us. Hi, Anna.
Hi. So first of all, I'm a faculty member at Madison College, something I'm very, very proud of. And every year in January and then tonight, I'm one of the people who reads the names of the graduates up on the stage. I always cry. Mm-hmm. And I feel so fortunate to be honored to be able to teach first of all, my students who work so hard and usually are doing, you know, they're not just going to school. The advice that I would give involves love. And it's, first of all, love yourself. As you go out into the world, think about what choices you're making and how they're going to impact you much later. You know, love yourself enough to take care of yourself. Because when we're in our 20s, we think we're immortal. And we bash ourselves up, and then when we're our age, Kathleen, then all of a sudden, the body goes, "Hey, I bat last." but also, love life. And as the previous callers were saying, yes, take the chance to travel when you can now, because right now, I'm in my 50s. I don't want to sleep in a hostel. But in my 20s, I would have. Love the unknown. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say yes to something that might not work out.
Anna, I've got to jump in because we're almost out of time. Are you going to be the commencement? Are you going to be the commencement speaker? You ought to be.
No, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. We have less than a minute, Danny. Do you have any last words of wisdom, very brief words of wisdom?
Just wanted to say, I wish that I had connected with that listener 30 years ago. My life would have been a lot better. Yeah, that's great advice, and I would urge all graduates to take it.
Yeah, she didn't get to the keep your sense of humor, which is a good one too. Danny, thanks very much for being with us.
Great, and let's bring on summer.
Yeah, I think so. Danny Heitman is a columnist, editorial page editor for the Baton Rouge Advocate. His recent piece, Graduation Wisdom, Look Behind You, appeared this week in the Christian Science Monitor. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.